Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the government's Community Development Program, CDP, is broken and needs to be completed, abolished and replaced, not restarted, is the words we're hearing from Warren Snowden, a Shadow Assistant Minister for Indigenous Australians, member of Lingiari. Got him on the line. Warren, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm real well, thank you. I mean, I'd be better if they didn't have this stupid program.
There you go. So you've got a thorn in your side regarding CDP. Like you said, if it's definition of insanity, doing something over and over again, expecting a different result. That's what I'm picking up through your comments, yeah?
Yeah, I am. And my friend Pat Dodson, whom I'm sure you know.
Yes.
He's described CDP as discriminatory, punitive and ineffectual, and he's right in all three counts. You know, I live in Alice Springs and have lived in Northern Australia for the last 40-odd years. And my electorate is all of the Northern Territory except Darwin, so all the bush.
Yes.
So, and they're 42% of my, the population I serve are Aboriginal people who mostly live in remote communities, most of whom are subject to this stupid arrangement. People are being penalised unnecessarily. This provides no real incentive to get people back to work. What we need to do is go back and do things entirely differently. As I said to you earlier, Trev, there used to be the old Community Development Employment Scheme, which operated from the mid-70s.
Yep.
Up until John Howard became Prime Minister when they got rid of it. And it was a community-based program which provided part-time work for part-time pay and in most places was a no-work, no-pay issue, so if you didn't turn up today, you didn't get paid at the end of the week. And people understood it.
Sure.
All the work programs were designed by the community, and there was wages top up. You could get, if you work beyond your hours, and the organisation for whom you're working, whether it was in a school or a health service or whatever, they could pay you top up income.
Yeah, like overtime, for example.
You need to have that sort of incentive back in the system.
Mm.
So that people are doing the range of jobs that can be done. Sadly, a position was taken some years ago where it was said if you're doing a job in a school, for example, that's a job that should be paid for by the education department. Well, that immediately meant there was a whole lot of people were put out of work.
Yes.
They were back on the dole, effectively. They were back on now what is CDP. What we say is allow the community to determine what the jobs are that should be done in the community.
Yeah.
Allow them to create the framework for this and the architecture for it and work with them.
Yes.
And provide incentives for people to go to work and to train. That's not what's happening at the moment. And people are dropping out of the system. And when they drop out, that means that it impacts upon the health of the community. We know work has been done, a report given that said social problems had increased since the introduction of CDP. There are increased break-ins and enters to steal food, predominantly by children and young people. There'd been an increase in domestic violence, an increase in financial coercion and family fighting, and, as you'd imagine, an increase in mental health issues,
yes,
feelings of shame, depression, sleep deprivation and hunger.
And if things don't change, things don't change.
And what we need this government to do is understand that it's broken.
Yes.
We need to fix it. And the best way to fix it is get rid of it and start again.
Okay.
Redesign something which is fit for purpose and fits the needs and wants of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the bush.
So what's plan B, do you reckon, my friend?
I don't think they've got a plan B.
Yep.
But I can tell you absolutely with 100% surety that when I travel around the bush, people say to me, we're just sick and tired of this, it doesn't work, it's hurting us, people are going hungry, We know that there's been increase in break and enters, there's been increase in domestic and family violence as a result of the introduction of this scheme, and there's been an increase in mental health problems.
Mm.
So what we've got to do is we've got to fix it. That means forgetting being proud, that is the government,
yep,
and go and sit down in the dirt and talk to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Well, from the bottom up, is what we're talking about here.
And say, let's design something
inside out,
fit for purpose and suits your needs. And if it looks like the old CDEP, let's do it.
Yeah.
But sadly, they're not in that frame of mind.
Sure. All right, well, that's your pusher. Thank you very much for sharing, and hopefully they're listening, my friend. We'll talk soon, Warren.
I look forward to that, mate. You, good luck to you.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.
Warren Snowden, his name is. He is the Shadow Assistant Minister for Indigenous Australians, and he feels though the CDP, the Community Development Program, is broken, needs to be completed, abolished and replaced, not restarted. He doesn't think the government has a plan B, so something needs to be done there. Look, add to the conversation, tell us your thoughts on the situation, and yarning up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. With the Baldy, I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to News, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Distractions I can lead you astray. Refresh your spirit in your own cooey ways. Cooey love, plump all your mother, father, sister and brother. Cooey ways, sharing, caring, each one for the other. Cooey people, one cooey leaking, us all to each other. Cooey love, cooey life, cooey ways. Cooey love, cooey love, cooey love.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it.
driving like you stole it, some driving.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumble Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, don't act. We know you're not shy. You can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well for you keyboard warriors, BBM 987 FM. Check that out, Jim. All right, Which Way Yarning is the next segment we got. Proudly sponsored by Piconi, Brinsmead, and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here once a week for our school-based traineeship. And we push and promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle. So chew on a banana rather than a cherry ripe, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to catch up with yarn now with Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke. And she's brought in a bodyguard, Sergeant Adrian Geary. Going to have a yarn to both of them. And a very good morning to you both. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Fantastic. Hey, mate. I'll start with the pretty lady here.
Thank you.
Yeah, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke, my sister. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Let the mob know who you mob. Where you from?
Oh, me?
Yes.
So my grandparents are from the Yindinji Nation, mm-hmm. from over here at Yarrabal.
Yes.
And that's on my mum's side, mm-hmm. and my dad's side's white Australian from down Brisbane way.
Okay. Well, the white Australian got a good taste.
Yes. That's right.
And over to Sergeant Adrian Geary. Very good morning, my brother. Who your mob were you from?
So originally I grew up in Townsville.
Yes.
But my mob, west of Rocky, at they call the Bidjara Nation.
Yes.
And the Carey, so it's both grandfather and grandmother's side. And, we're based west of Rocky, out Springshaw and Carnarvon Gorge sort of area.
Mm. Deadly footprint.
Yes.
Yes, fantastic. that's cattle country, eh?
Yes, that's right.
All right, now listen, so Sergeant you are, so how long you been a Sergeant, how long you been in the force, let's start with that.
Yeah, so I've been in the police service for 22 years.
Yes.
And a Sergeant for 13 years.
Okay. I don't think I've come across a First Nation Sergeant.
No, there's not too many of us.
Yeah.
But there is a few, a few down probably down Brisbane, but yeah, there's not too many.
Okay, did you always wanted to be in the police force?
No, not at all.
How did this all come about?
Yeah, mate. I think I sort of fell into it a bit. Really, I was being an Indigenous young fella finishing school. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, like I didn't know what career path I wanted to go, and you know, I sort of struggled with that for a few years, and did TAFE, did. Ended up going to Palm Island with my old man. He was an electrician over there.
Okay.
And worked with him for about 6 months, and he encouraged me to go back to uni and do what mum does. Mum does. She's a school teacher.
Okay.
So I went to uni, did tertiary prep because I didn't have the right subjects to go to uni.
Okay.
So I did tertiary preparation course at JCU.
With the vision to become a teacher.
100%. Mm. And did 2 years of teaching. And so I was at uni for probably 3 years all up. And then I just got sick of struggling financially, you know, just back in the day, ab study was cut. If you were classed under 25, I think it was, your ab study was means tested against your parents. My parents probably earned too much money.
Mm.
So mine got cut and I was on about $77 a fortnight. I couldn't struggle. So I was doing tutoring at school, trying to make some money, do studies full time, and just got sick of struggling. And at that time, I think the North Queensland Police Academy just started up there. So I remember dropping in there, going to the office and just going, can I get
your own decision, or were you having a conversation with mum and dad? Or
no, I didn't have a conversation with mum and dad. If they did,
so
they would have
come from left field. This would have come from left field.
Yeah, 100%, mate. It was just, you know, I suppose what inspired me, to be honest, was another Indigenous bloke who joined the police. His name was Robbie Enchong. I went to school with him.
Okay.
And I remember him graduating and becoming a police officer. And I remember going around and visiting him one day and seeing the uniform hanging up.
It's meant to be.
And I went, wow, this fella's deadly, you know.
He's
he's
inspired you.
Yeah, inspired me, mate. Yeah, so I you know, I suppose that's probably what sparked a little bit. And I went into the academy there and grabbed an application. And when I read through the information package, the more I read about policing, the more I become interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that they paid you, mm-hmm. I was like, that's it, I'm going. Because it paid you to study.
Pick me.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. You know, the academy, so as soon as you're in the academy, you – and there was also an entry program for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Yep.
So I didn't have to go through that way. I could have went straight to the academy. But I chose to go down that – the Indigenous pathways because they did a justice studies first. Mm. They still paid you. It's like a police traineeship. They did a justice studies program. And and that taught you a lot about the law and everything and stuff like that. Like I didn't know nothing about law at that time. I had no exposure to the law, and I didn't even know there was different courts.
Yep.
You know, hierarchy and all that sort of stuff. So it was good just to do that course, just to learn a bit about law and all that sort of stuff and policing. And then after we finished that program for 1 year at Johnston River TAFE in Innisfail. Then I went down to Townsville for, like, work experience for a couple of months. And that was just waiting for the academy to start up down in Brisbane. And then I went down to Brisbane and...
Because the academy is only in Brisbane, isn't it?
Well, it was... It was in... It's in Brisbane and in Townsville.
Okay.
So they
Townsville's only recently?
Yeah, Townsville was recent. Yeah, it's probably... Oh, it's been a while now. It's probably been about 25 years now in Townsville.
Okay, right, yeah.
But, yeah, that... It... Yeah, so it's yeah, it was you know, the more I read up on it, the more I you know, when I applied for it, a bit of a funny story, when I applied for it and got accepted, I told my mother, you know, I've been accepted, I'm going to the police, you know, police force. My mum didn't go down too well. She went, "What the hell did you do that for?"
Straight up.
Yep. And I said, oh, well.
But, of course, you were you're an adult at the time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But you still got a growling from mum.
I've got a growling because she, you know, Murrays, we sort of think, you know, the police are, you know, racist and all that sort of stuff. So from my mum's point of view, I think her biggest fear, she said to me when she said that, she said, "What did you do that for?" She said, "They're racist and you'll get either seriously injured or killed." So that was her fears.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously when I graduated and become a police officer, she was, like, proud as punch.
Of course,
and
yeah.
And she's still proud today
Back 22 years ago, I mean, even now there's not a lot of First Nation people in the blue uniform, but 100%. Back then would have been scarce as such.
Yeah, well.
So you would have been one of the first...
Yep.
Cabs off the rank, so to speak.
Yeah, well,
and then discrimination would have been strong.
Yeah, that's right.
Back then.
Yeah,
mate, which is sad to say, but it is what it is.
100%. I'd be lying to say that I haven't come across racism.
Sure.
But, you know, I can also see the other side where the police have tried to do the right thing when it comes to First Nations people. You know, like, you know, even just the whole entry program that I went through. You know, there was a lot of support for us in that.
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest, there was, I think, my year that I went through is 98, so 99.
Mm-hmm.
We had the biggest intake ever of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and that was 21. We could have formed our own squad.
Is that right?
Of course they didn't.
The Black Force.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, and they're climbing up the ladder. So, become a sergeant.
Yep.
Well, you did 22 years, so that's you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, working in different areas, doing what you need to do to climb up the ladder.
Yeah.
And how do you go about that? Do you apply for the next stripe up, or they award you because you're doing a great job? Or
100%. So, basically, what my career pathways, what I did is, so I was a general duties officer for I did my first year in Townsville.
Yep.
Then I did 4 years in Bowen.
Okay.
In Bowen. And back in those days, to get to senior connie, you had to either apply for a senior connie position and win it on merit, or you had to wait for your station to have a certain percentage under of senior Connies. So there was only a certain percentage that were allowed to have senior Connies.
Sure.
So if you if your station was full of senior Connies, then you had to go out remote to some other station.
And
that
you did
didn't
your fair share
seniors.
Of that?
No. So what I ended up doing is I ended up applying for an opportunity come up, and there was a senior constable position come up in Bowen as the traffic officer.
Mm.
So I applied for that and managed to win it on merit. And I ended up doing traffic policing for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got bored
in Bowen
with that. Yeah, yep. In Bowen. And I got bored with that and driving up and down the highway all the time. And so I was looking for a progression again. And so I ended up applying for the sergeant position on Palm Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I won that spot and went over to Palm Island for just over 2 years, and that's when I became a sergeant. And
so when was that? How long was that?
That was 2010.
But that's where you got your three stripes?
Yep.
Okay.
And I loved it. I enjoyed my time over on Palm, and, you know, I would have stayed on longer. However, my family was still in Bowen.
Mm.
So I needed to get back to the wife and the kids and provide support, father role support there. So, but, yeah, it was great time over in Palm. So that's how I got to sergeant. And then for me, again, you also have to do studies. So there's a – so to get to senior Connie, you've got to do your constable development program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a few assignments. I think there's – it's about 3 years of studies.
Is that paid for, or you have to fork that out of your own pocket?
It's basically – no, it's all internal, yeah.
Okay, yes.
So, you just do it internal. It's an internal program that you do. So it's not – it doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
It's free of charge, and you just basically –
and open for anybody to do it.
Anybody that's in that rank, yeah. Mm.
Which is subject to change at the moment.
100%.
Yeah. Sure.
100%, yeah.
And so if you're doing a study and not there's no position available, but just do the study and then prepare yourself for the opportunity.
You go up
and
pay
present point. You. Yep.
You go on pay points.
Okay.
So, yeah, you do your studies and you get all these points and you go up in pay points each year.
Mm.
And then once you finish your constable development program and you become a senior Connie, then you can do your MDP, which is your management development program.
Okay.
And that is, again, consisting, I think it's got two subjects, law and management, and you do basically two assignments in each subject, and then you're then eligible, qualified to go to the next level, so sergeant. So then I did, when I was on Palm Island, I did again my two subjects in management development program, because there's three levels of it.
Okay, yep.
To get me, and that now qualifies me to go to senior sergeant level.
So when you left Palm Island in 2010, you were classed as a sergeant?
Yep.
And so then your next appointment would have been a sergeant of the office where you were appointed
yeah.
to, yep?
So, yeah, so when I left Palm, I then went back to Bowen for the family.
Yep.
Crazy thing happened. My wife decided to join the police.
Is that right? Is that right?
I talked her out of it for many years.
But she's talked about it before with you.
100%, yeah.
Then all of a sudden she said, no, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And, put the foot down.
And look, and you know, I think...
So it, even though your three stripes couldn't stop her?
No.
You think
no,
you're the man.
I tried.
You think you're the man?
It didn't succeed, mate. But
even that gun on your hip didn't work.
Not at all. Not when it comes to the wife, mate.
So she took that role on, so she's a police officer too.
So she, I just got back from Palm
and
come back to Bowen, and she said, I want to join the police, and I said to her, let's sit down and yarn and talk about this, because, you know, obviously you've brought it up over a number of times over the years. And
you got any kids?
Yeah, well, we had three kids at the time.
Okay, Adrian, yep.
So we got five now.
Okay.
We've found out what causes that, so we...
Well, both in a police force, that didn't slow that department down. You got a basketball team
right.
there.
That's right. So, yeah, mate, so we... Yeah, so she joined... She ended up joining up...
What's her name?
Jessie.
Big shout out, Jessie, yep.
Yeah, so she's in Project Booyah, which is another interesting... She'll probably get... Jessie in some time.
Yeah, have a yarn with Jessie. Exactly.
About,
yeah, beautiful.
About that.
Good.
But, yeah, so she's
So yeah, in actual fact, you do outrank her anyway.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
Until you go home.
That's right.
Then it all changes.
Then she's the boss, yeah. That's right. Yeah, so she joined up, and so she did her studies at the Townsville Academy.
Mm-hmm. She First Nation woman?
Yes, First Nation, South Sea Islander.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah. Yep. Russian.
Okay.
No, stir up about that. No, she's got all sorts of Malay.
Fruit salad mix.
Yeah, we're all mixed. I've got Aboriginal.
All of that, yep.
I've got Indian. I have, you know, all sorts of England, Ireland, Scotland, France, and inside, outside, inside, out. So
to our dental listeners just tuned in, yeah, talking to fruit salad officer here, Sergeant Adrian Geary, and Yarnambit Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke on Wicho Yarning. So just talking about his career path, I think it's the first black sergeant I've spoken to. So, I'm getting educated as well.
That's right.
In the force.
Yeah, so once she joined up and came, she ended up, was fortunate enough to come back to Bowen in her first year constable program. She did 4 years there, and then she went down to, she applied for a position in school-based policing and in Mackay. So we moved down to Mackay. I was a sergeant, civ supervisor in Mackay.
So because you were a sergeant at Bowen and then she joined the force, then she got recruited to go to Mackay. So then you had to She came back to Bowen first. Yes.
Yeah. She came back to Bowen for 4 years.
Working under you?
Yep, in Bowen. We worked together.
Yes.
Yep. And then
how'd that go down?
Mate, it was good, but tough, because I can remember our kids were only very young.
Sure.
So she would come on at 6 o'clock in the morning to start work.
Yeah.
And I'd be finishing 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we'd be tag teaming. See you later.
Tag team. Note on the kitchen table there. So dinner's in the oven.
Kids are in the back seat of the car. She'd be waiting in the car. I'd be
taking
my gun off, getting out of the station.
She'd be putting a gun on and going into the station.
I'd be driving home, getting the kids ready for daycare or whatever, or school, and then once they're at daycare or school, I could go to sleep.
Yeah.
From night shift. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, did you have days off together?
Yeah. We made sure with rostering, they try to make sure that we get some days
off
together.
But you're the senior sergeant, you would have been making the roster happen.
No.
You don't do that?
There's a senior sergeant above me.
Okay, there you go.
And I was a sergeant, yeah.
Okay.
So I was shift supervisor.
So did you work together with your other half?
Yeah, we worked a few shifts. In the same car together? Yeah, a few shifts together.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's freaky.
She enjoyed working with me, so she tells me.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But yeah, so then she applied for this position down in.
So I was sitting on the side of the road waiting for anybody who's doing any no good stuff. Yeah, they organised your budget for the week and Christmas holidays and planned the kids.
That's right.
For the next football game.
That's right. It was always interesting, but she was from Bowen, and so a lot of the Bowen people knew her.
Bowen,
it was just nice to, I suppose Bowen's experienced having Indigenous police there. They've had a few go through from time to time.
Yep.
I think there was Robbie Enchong. He was there one time. Myself, Jess, and I had a cousin that went through there as well.
Okay.
But he's left.
Family affair.
Yeah. So there was quite a few that went through Bowen. So we moved to Mackay for 3 years. And she was in school-based policing, so that's like a specialist sort of role where they just work in the schools and help support the schools.
Yes.
And then I won the position up here in Gordonvale about 3.5 years ago, and become the officer in charge of Gordonvale Police, yeah.
Okay. So this is where you are at the moment? This is home now for you?
This is home, yeah.
And, of course, your lovely wife's up here as well?
Yep.
So she at Gordonvale?
No, she's at Project Booyah.
Okay, thank you.
So she's in a hub in Moorabool.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, fantastic, the story of your life. but it's also, so you could say for any First Nation mob out there looking at a career in the police force, look, thumbs up is what I'm hearing from you.
100%, mate. I haven't looked back since I joined. It's been a career for me. It's been great. It's been challenging. I won't say that it's not challenging. But I'm also the chair of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Network within the Queensland Police.
Okay.
So we're looking at strategies of how
Do PLOs come under that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Any employee that's First Nations.
Okay, if you're working in the office, admin, whatever.
Yep. Doesn't Beautiful. Matter. We're looking at to support, and the whole objective of that network is to make us more inclusive within the workplace.
Beautiful, yep.
So,
and educating our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well in the force, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And building that bridge regarding, stamping out racism for starts,
right.
you know, and educating our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters about our culture.
Yep, that's you know? Right. And this commissioner now, she's very motivated to making some real changes with First Nations internally.
Her name is?
Katerina Carroll.
Okay, big shout out, Katerina. Thank you very much. And that's coming from the top
100%.
Down. So that filters down through the force, which is fantastic.
Yeah, she's...
If you've got leadership like that with that mentality
that's right.
and that passion, then things can change.
Well, now's, when a good time. Now's a good time to be joining.
100%.
Yep. There you go. Yep. Exactly. Yep. All your Murrays out there. Kuris, Nungas.
You know, even if you're not thinking about it, just put in an application.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's not going to go bad.
Sure. Well, I say if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
yeah.
Put the application in and you
go from there.
You get in.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
It is. It's great. It's a great time. Like Nicole said, it's a great time to actually start looking at the police for a career path because there is going to be a lot of support around Indigenous First Nations people.
Yes.
And even if we get it right internally,
of course.
It's going to flow out
exactly
into the community as well. So.
Yep. Exactly. Look, a beautiful yarn. Sergeant Adrian Geary, thank you so very much.
No dramas.
My sister,
you.
Always good to catch up with you. Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke.
Thank you.
The Which Way Yarning Program, proudly sponsored by Pecconi's, IGA, Brisbane and Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here. And big shout out to the Edmonton Police and also the Gordonville Police as well. Cheers, big shout out to thanks. Stevie Harris, my brother.
Yeah, we'll
Which Way? Scored many tries that, brother.
Yeah.
And we'll yarn soon. Thank you very much. Hey?
Cheers. Thank you.
It's too deadly.
Thank you.
All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys and girls in the blue and a deadly yarn. First time I had a yarn with Sergeant Adrian Geary and a black sergeant with them three stripes, two deadly. You think he'd demand till he go home is what we found in that conversation. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Two deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Your daily mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now traditional fire practice helps Commonwealth Bank reduce its carbon footprint. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Shiloh Villafour, Regional Manager, Aboriginal Carbon Foundation. My sister, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm well. Great to see you, my sister. Thanks.
Thank you.
Always good to see you, yes. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Well, we have mob from all over, but traditionally back to Darwin.
Okay.
Yeah, my great-grandmother is an Aboriginal woman from up in Darwin, mm-hmm. but relatives everywhere. We've got ties to the Torres Strait. We've got family over in Yarrabah.
Yes, connection everywhere.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you're the regional manager, Aboriginal Carbon Foundation. Good news, Commonwealth Bank has come to the table in regarding reducing its carbon footprint. So they're purchasing a carbon credit. If you enlighten us and let our listeners know how that all works. And it is a business, isn't it, in that sense for our mob?
Yep, it's just like an agricultural business and we trade carbon on the market.
Yes.
So it's definitely a business.
Okay, so your job as Aboriginal Carbon Foundation is to seek buyers for carbon credit, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's basically, we get in touch with people or they get in touch with us about wanting to reduce their carbon footprint, wanting to also take a look at their reconciliation action plans,
mm-hmm.
their sustainable development goals, and we're able to help them with that because not only do the carbon credits that we sell on behalf of the Aboriginal rangers in Cape York, in Darwin, you know, we work with the Tiwi Island rangers, we work all through Cape York. we have cultural credits attached to them as well. So that's why with their reconciliation action plans, they can meet their targets because they're buying carbon credits with cultural credits attached.
Yes.
So we spent a couple of years of research and development on the verification framework that that we spoke about last time.
Yes.
And what that is it's a framework that is you get certificates, it's qualified as Aboriginal carbon credits.
Okay, fantastic. So carbon credit, it's coming, looking after the motherland.
Yeah, okay. So the easiest way, because it took me a while to wrap my head around the carbon industry, because I've been in native title for a million years, so coming across to carbon, I was like,
Hello.
Yeah, so what it is when wildfires go through, you know, like say Cape York, wildfires, you know how they burn that black smoke?
Yes.
So the wildfires, the uncontrolled fires, produce a lot more emissions.
Yes.
If we support Indigenous rangers who do the burning correctly, they do what's called cool burns.
Yes.
So there's a gap between what a wildfire emission will be and what a cool fire emission will be. Whatever is saved in between that, and we can look on reports every year through NAFI and all these different reports to see what's saved.
Sure.
And every ton that's saved, we can trade that carbon credit.
Okay. So there's the commodity as such.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, fantastic. Yep. So call the banker, come to the table. And is it you guys as an Aboriginal Carbon Foundation sit down and negotiate prices with like Commonwealth Bank, a client, so to speak? Yeah.
Well, we can get Aboriginal rangers more for their carbon credits because of the values attached. So it's social, economic and cultural.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, the government sells carbon credits for about $16. We can get anywhere up to $22.
Okay.
Because of the cultural credits. And people like the Commonwealth Bank wanting to invest into Aboriginal communities.
Well, you're talking about professors of the land, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Traditional owners.
Traditional scientists.
The traditional scientists.
Yep.
Exactly. And nothing beats black on black and then working on country.
Absolutely.
You know, I've always said that we as First Nation people, as black people, we are wealthy just being black.
Yeah.
We just got to get our skin in the game, you know, or get proactive with our produce, which is land or
that's
our culture.
Right. And the rangers, the Aboriginal rangers who are doing this isn't anything new.
They've
been burning for thousands and thousands of years.
They're just doing the norm, living their life.
That's right.
They're getting paid for it.
That's right. That's exactly
fantastic.
What it is.
Yes.
And it brings real empowerment and ownership. And it keeps people on country. It cares for country. It keeps people on country. It provides employment opportunities that can be really scarce throughout Cape York and other places where employment isn't readily available. It changes the landscape in more ways than one for people who live in those communities.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, and
taking care of country, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you find stuff like the carbon credits are just an end result. You also find when Aboriginal people, you know, take care of the country, you get bush foods coming back, you get animals coming back, you get all these other flow-on benefits.
Mm.
It's not just the carbon.
Mother Earth is breathing again on their country.
Yep.
And the ancestors are smiling down.
Yeah, and it's recognising that Aboriginal people
are
the traditional owners because they know that country better than anybody.
Well, we're talking 60,000 years.
Yeah.
They must know something.
Right.
Professors, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So when you work for Aboriginal Carbon Foundation.
Yep.
Do they operate here in Far North Queensland?
We've got three spaces. So here in Cairns is the office, and then we've also got Sydney and Alice Springs.
Okay.
Yep.
So you can converse with TOs across the nation.
Oh, absolutely.
So
we do all the time. So I'm flying down to Noosa tomorrow.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking to the Cubby Cubby mob down in Noosa.
Yeah, beautiful.
About doing a project with them, not carbon.
Because some of our mob are naive to carbon credit,
Absolutely, and I don't blame them because I know when I started with the foundation, it almost seemed like this pie in the sky kind of idea.
Yeah.
I couldn't pull it all together. But then there's a great video by Nailsma.
Nailsma?
Yeah, N-A-I-L-S-M-A.
You can see it on YouTube?
Yep, or you can go to our website and it's
Aboriginal Carbon Foundation,
yep. And what it is it
explains it.
And it's in Creole, and it's like plasticine figures, which doesn't sound as gammon as what I'm making it sound.
Gammon.
But it's this old fella sitting around a fire. You know, they're cooking a goanna on the coals. He's got grannies. He's got his old missus and a couple of camp dogs and stuff. Mm. And it's explaining it in language about why they do it, about the benefits, about what the role of the scientists mm. is. So I remember once I watched that video, I just went...
The penny drop.
Yeah.
That's a penny drop.
Yeah. So I had a conversation recently with some traditional owners in the NPA.
Yes.
And... they didn't get it either, like me. And mm. then I showed them the video and I saw the penny drop for them.
Mm, gotcha. Because you're showing that video. Yeah.
Yeah. And also yeah. for Aboriginal people, they've been burning.
Exactly.
So it's like, how am I, you know what I mean? Like,
how am I going to make money doing something I always do?
And that's the...
I just protected my country. What are you mob talking yeah. about? Yeah, yeah. So to speak.
So there's that kind
yes.
of...
Yes.
You know, yeah. so because it's too big... Mm. And you know that, and also Aboriginal people are saturated in all of these programs and people flying in and mm. boards and mm. all this sort of stuff. You know, to add another layer, it's yeah. just I don't know that I. You know, that sometimes
all these plates they got to spin.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
To our deadly listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trevor and Mike here, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Shiloh Villaflor. She's with the Aboriginal Carbon Foundation Regional Manager, and just talking about the fantastic client that came to the table, Commonwealth Bank, to reduce its carbon footprint, have purchased carbon credit. So what are we talking about there, figures-wise? You know? Give us a round ball figure in regard to how much it'll cost for Commonwealth Bank, for example, to yep. purchase credit. How's that work?
Well, it was one of the largest trades in Australia this year.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
So you're talking big bucks here, sister?
Yeah, several $100,000.
Loan dear.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. Well, the thing that I love about working for the foundation is we only take 10%. We're a not-for-profit.
Okay.
So I like that the money goes...
to the people.
To the community.
Yeah, community yeah. version.
So that was something that was really important to me. So I love that. But for the Commonwealth Bank, it's not just about them throwing dollars at the community.
No, they're purchasing something here.
Yeah, they want to see engagement, community engagement,
investment. Yeah,
yeah. So
employment.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're looking at possibly. Well, not possibly. We're going to look at approaching the education system up there. The possibility of some Kawanyama students going to the Commonwealth Bank.
Yes.
And being trained up in whatever, whether it's a bank exec, whether it's whatever. A teller, whatever yes. they want to do.
Okay.
And other programs that can be run through the Kawanyama Council that the Commonwealth Bank can also support.
Yes.
And the Commonwealth Bank want to have a relationship directly Good. With the Good. Community.
Yep.
So possibly when there's a burn next year, depending on what happens with COVID, if COVID goes away, mm. The Kawanyama and the Commonwealth Bank people will get mm. together up on country yep. and maybe see a burn.
Well, when you look at an enterprise like that, Commonwealth Bank, purchasing credit, doing a business transaction with you guys, there's more at the table
yep.
and they're aware of that, but their heart's in the right place is what yep. I'm picking up.
Absolutely.
Regarding closing the gap, regarding employment,
yep.
regarding
yep.
Looking after traditional owners on their own country, all
That's
the above.
Right.
Yeah?
So not only are they either reducing or zeroing their emissions,
yes.
they're also able, again, to meet their reconciliation action plans, sustainable development goals. They're able to do that all through the carbon credits that they purchase from us.
Yes.
Because the carbon credits that their foundation sells has social, cultural and economic value.
Okay. Yeah, there's, how you say, rules of engagement.
Yeah, the cultural credits
yes.
and they're verified.
Okay.
They're government recognised, they're verified.
Yep.
All that sort of stuff.
So it's about the buyer, in this case, Commonwealth Bank, dotting I's, crossing T's in regard to the transaction going through.
Yeah.
They've got to say, agree to all the rules,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah, both sides. The great thing about what we do is we are really big on relationship building.
Yes.
We want it to be more than just a business transaction.
Yes.
Like the money side of the carbon is just the end result.
Yep.
It's
okay.
not why we do
okay, lovely.
What we do.
Beautiful. Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So it's great news. And look, thank you for educating myself as well as our listeners. The listeners probably got more education than me in this field. But like you said, coming from
Native Title,
that's right, yeah. into this field, well, different circle, isn't it?
Yeah. And if anybody ever wants any information, we've just revamped our website.
Okay.
And we have an office in town opposite the Civic Shopping Centre next to IBA.
Okay, here in Cairns, yep.
People can come in and talk to me.
But to a mob across country, just go to your webpage?
Yeah, absolutely. And all of our numbers are on there. We're easily contactable.
Okay.
Lovely. I have some people call me on the weekends, you know, because our numbers are all, our mobile numbers
out
are
there.
On there. Yeah.
Which our sister, I got credit here. Can we yarn?
Yeah. Yes, I've had phone calls like that.
My sister, look, great to see you again. All the best to you and your deadly team. Good luck to the mob down there with the Cubby Cubby mob.
Yeah, we're excited about that. So it's working with Green Fleet.
Yes.
And they've been around for a decade, so they do really amazing work, and good. The Noosa Shire Council. And so, yeah, we're very excited to be in partnership with them.
So there's money in the air, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, carbon
and
credit.
Benefits for the mob, like employment and all these flow on, and just the empowerment of having, you know, the right to govern your affairs how you see fit.
Exactly.
That's what is really exciting about the work that we do, is community development too.
Yes.
Is, you know, that's why we love what we do.
My big brother Tiger Bale used to always say, not the tail wagging the dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
My sister, good talking with you. All the best.
Always
I will yarn soon, eh?
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Beautiful yarn, Shiloh Villaflor, and she's the regional manager, Aboriginal Carbon Foundation, and traditional fire practice helps Commonwealth Bank reduce its carbon footprint. So look, Too Deadly, and to all our mob out there on country, there's an opportunity there to be in business, so to speak, as well as looking after your country. So doing what you always have done, you can get paid for it now, so to speak. That's what it's all about. So worth a call, worth looking at their webpage, Aboriginal Carbon Foundation, and have that yarn, Too Deadly. Shiloh Villaflor, and always good to catch up with that sister. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
It's the Dia Double Cooker, that the Y coming at ya. Got the whole crew here ready to attack ya. With the beats and the rhythm on the scratch ya. Showing you that I'm the bomb. When I wanna be, I can be dangerous. Soon I'm gonna be the world's most greatest. I'm up to date with the world war latest. I chuck on my favorite playlist. When I dance, got moves like Matrix. Moves that are fresh and moves that are ancient. Battling the war with friends and relations. But now I'm clearing the pages.
Yeah, I will. Sneakity coming and speaking the realest. I'm one of the illest of villains. I'm running with killers, visible criminals, banging the visual. Haters are looking for miracles, looking hysterical. Haters are yapping, spreading the clapping, tell them what happened. When I get that money, stacking, rapping, holding the rapping captive. Vividly massive, laughing, criminally active, bastards, whoa. Still thinking of selling, no telling, you're dealing with fellas, no acting. You seen it, I'm in it to win it. I drill him and kill him, I'm eating from calm. Mama, I'm driven by the dangerous pride. But that's who I am. Struggle. The black youth hurry up to and join the huddle. We're proving truth to societies and trying to rubble. Minds feed the starter, double lies, beat the seat, defeat the best man humble. Keep your spirit to land, although your sneaks on the street. I still realize your people still ain't squashing, better keep the skin deep. But I'm betting that they just feel threatened from this one city. The wall of me, get a made black reppin'. Western Orinda, double Terry bar, put it all together, straight up, black for life. I rock colors in black and white, recite ancient stories from deep time. When I fly on the mic, let me take you back to the mission. So listen, we fighting for existence, resistance for instant. My thoughts fire like a piston, you're not with my brothers and sisters. Can you feel the question and the message represent? But that's who I am. Rapping the NT streets, down the VIC. Rapping and rapidly attacking all the hip-hop beat. See what happens when you see indigenous MCs. Rock across the nation, hoping to get overseas. Cause it's more than just a dream, plus we do this for our people. Defeat for all the evil that we see every day. Hoping that the sun shines so we can see better days. Who's that?
Yeah, Standing Strong, Young Warriors, featuring various artists. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up now. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Trevor. Ready, brother.
How you going, brother?
Yeah, I'm going great. I'm going okay. I'm spending a lot of time with this Green Patch thing, you know, and I was glad you had the Gordonvale police on.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if you could ask me how come it's closed, because it's a police and council initiative.
So who have you talked to, and what answers have you got when you're asking such questions?
I don't really want to go into the police station, mate. I just... I'm just...
And what about the Member of Parliament in that area? Who's that, Mr. Warren Pitt, hey?
Warren Pitt, yeah. I've been there a few times for different things, and the secretary always, the receptionist always says, oh, he can't do nothing. I used to talk to his father, what can I do? I'm surrounded by cane farmers and And when you get an activist like myself, I guess, that to be seen helping me is... They don't like that, you know. Like they can't be seen to be helping me because I'm an outsider, I guess.
Mm.
And I haven't released it yet, but it seems that the council have a date on the wall that it says generally they're going to close it from the 31st of October, which is Saturday week.
Mm.
And there's a lot of whether they, I mean, they say generally they're going to close it, but it's never been open as a camping ground before. It's just always been a quiet rest area.
Yeah.
But now we've got like a caravan park there.
It is virtually a caravan park.
Yeah, and a lot of those people, the travellers, they're concerned too. And the general talk, we go down, there's a lot of musicians come and go and we're talking and they want to support a protest. And I will say now that that will probably go ahead on Saturday the 31st of October, the day they want to close it.
Yeah. Tony, do you know that the caravan park tenants there, do they go down and use the creek?
Oh, they can't, mate. This is it. It's all locked off.
Okay.
The trail bikes. It's just trail bikes. Up and down, across the road, on top.
Yeah, but it must be accessed by foot if people go in there for a swim.
Accessed by foot. Well, you can't take old people down there. You can't go down there and supervise kids with a car. And we've always had that.
Mm.
You can park the car and you can go for a long walk. But you can't because it's all reserved for motorbikes. And this is a police initiative. And it just seems really racist against our local indigenous population. That is our cultural sacred site in front of the mountain, Jarrigan.
Yeah, but it's not a designated motorbike trail, so to speak, and if it's not, then someone's going to get hurt. And is that when they change the rule, when someone gets hurt?
Well, that almost happened, which is why we wanted it policed in the first place.
Exactly.
We said on this show about 3 years ago, and they've policed it. Now they've kicked the people out and left the motorbikes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. If they wanted the motorbikes, we'll build them a motorbike track somewhere.
Exactly.
Give us our river.
And not in a prestige area like the Mulgrave River, which is so beautiful down there, at the base of the mountain, the pyramid, the Walsh's Pyramid.
That's right. It's a sanctuary.
It is.
Get out of the house. And this is the time we want to get out of the house.
COVID-19.
That's our nearest classroom for kids and people too. But it's not just the Murrays. It's everybody. Me, I'm a local concerned resident. I've got a right to do what I'm doing.
Yep.
Because I want to go down there. I can't go to Goldsboro no more, and that's our cold place. So I don't mind. I just go from home to there, and I spend a lot of time there, and we're just sussing it out the right way to proceed. But there's going to be action. Wind TV called me, and then they denied it. They called me, and I got a voicemail, and they're trying to just distance themselves from it because, you know, they only want to report nice things.
Yeah.
And the Cairns Post, they said, oh, we didn't like.
Exactly.
I'm just in a position to stand up for this because it's keeping me going. I want to apologise for last week. I went off on shame. I'm not going to set fire to a rock collection, but
All good. My brother, I've got to go to the news, Tony. Tony Gibbs, thank you very much for your call. Keep in touch, please, brother, in regard to that situation. Trinity Trevor, you're going to sign off your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Got the news coming up very soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. COVID-19 is still with us, mob. Abide by the rules.
Down by the sea. a fish for a bite to eat. Oh, 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 yeah. Fish is mine.